This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 47, Flash Sync Speed for July 11, 2008. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 47th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, your host. And as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. And today is July 10, 2008. Well, I'm back recording live in Parc Lafontaine, and not too many motorized noises going around. So if you hear wind or leaves or fountains or kids or cars, these are noises being recorded on location. And it's a gorgeous day, and I'm so happy to be in this park. And I think I'm going to record a bunch of these podcasts this summer from this very park. Today's podcast is based on an email from Sergey from Russia. And we're going to talk about his specific question after I introduce sync speeds and things like this. But thanks so much, Sergey, for inspiring this podcast. Before we get into the podcast, I'd very much like to thank both Benny and Merman, who commented on our last podcast, number 46, where we talked about distracting elements in photographs and photography. So thanks so much for those comments. I'd also like to thank T-Matt, Yauza, and Tim for their comments on my sleepy dog photo, which I did kind of after I did that podcast. I was just kind of walking down the street, walked into a local Depenner or convenience store, and saw a sleepy dog, and I thought that would really be also a good image to illustrate the point about distractions. So thanks so much for your comments, everyone. It's much appreciated. So now let's just get right into today's podcast. So for today's podcast, we're going to talk about syncing your camera with your flash. And typically that is called X-Sync or flash sync or high-speed flash sync, which we'll talk about at the end. But basically, your camera needs to sync with your flash in order to determine what the exposure is, especially if you're using TTL, which is through the lens metering, which almost all modern flashes are going to do. Normally, it gives you very close to good exposures when the scene is normal. So when you have a good representation of tones in the scene and you want to use flash and you use flash, basically the camera meters the whole scene through the actual lens. It transmits that information to the flash and they work in tandem to give you a good exposure. So a little bit about flash, especially, you know, on camera flash or those small portable flashes. These flashes are designed to illuminate the foreground. So for instance, let's say you're taking a picture of someone in a park and, you know, they're standing in front of a tree and it's not the middle of the day anymore. It's closer to nighttime. So there's still a little bit of light out there, but not too much. The light is fading fast. So when you put your flash on your camera and you fire it, or even if you take the flash off camera for that matter, basically that flash is only giving exposure to the foreground subject, to the person. It's not going to eliminate the tree that might be 10, 20, 30, 50 feet behind them. It's only going to illuminate the subject. Now, if you have many flashes aimed at the background, that's a different story. But if you just have one flash on camera or slightly off camera and you fire it, it is illuminating the foreground. So the flash will control the foreground exposure, and the shutter speed will actually control the background exposure. And let me illustrate this a little bit for those that aren't familiar with it. So as we know, we can leave our cameras open for varying lengths of time just by using our shutter or shutter speed. A longer shutter speed, like 1 second, is going to let a lot of light into the camera. And a fast shutter speed, let's say like 1/250th of a second, is going to let less light into the camera. Now, when you take your flash, let's say you decide your exposure is going to be at 1/250th of a second. So your flash is going to fire at that subject, and your shutter will stay open for 1/250th of a second, and you'll get your shot. Now what's going to happen is 1/250th of a second at night is going to be too dark for the tree to register because the shutter speed is controlling the background. So the flash on your camera, no problem. That's getting lots of juice. It's firing a light right at your main subject. That's going to come out fine. But your background is going to be very underexposed. Now, what you can do in order to compensate for that is you can allow the shutter to be open more. So your foreground subject, especially if you're shooting TTL metering through the lens metering, is going to come out nicely exposed, probably, or you could tweak it a little bit, but the exposure that the camera chooses is probably going to be quite decent, but the background is going to be too dark. Now, if you choose a slower shutter speed, let's say 1/60th of a second, or 1/30th of a second, or 1/15th of a second, then by doing that, you're allowing a lot more light to reach the background, so the background part of the subject will be brighter. So that's one of the keys that you need to know, that the flash illuminates the foreground, and the shutter speed that you use controls the background. Now, how does a shutter work to begin with? Very, very, very briefly, in modern SLRs and digital SLRs, it's basically a curtain or a slit that basically runs from the top part of your camera to the lower part of your camera. Once that slit is open, it allows light to hit your film if you're using a film camera, or your digital sensor if you're using a digital camera, and that's how you get exposure. When your flash is located on your camera or even off camera, your flash is going to give a full burst while the shutter or the curtains are completely open. So there'll be this traveling slit, and once the traveling slit is completely open, the flash will fire, and that is how you are going to get a good exposure with your flash. And this is where we get into the X-Sync, or the maximum speed that your flash can sync with your camera. And this is a problem that many, especially amateurs and newbies have, but even sometimes people that are actually studying photography, they wonder about this as well. Very often you'll look at a picture and you'll notice that there'll be a dark line running through part of the picture. Now, the usual reason for this is because your camera has a maximum sync speed. This is the maximum shutter speed that your camera can successfully sync with the flash. Now, common maximum shutter speeds are going to be 1/90th of a second, or 1/200th of a second, 1/250th of a second, 1/500th of a second. These are going to be common maximum shutter speeds. And if you try and take a picture and exceed that, so let's say your maximum shutter speed is 1/250th, and you manually set your camera to set the shutter speed at 1/500th, if your camera allows you to do it, while your flash is attached, well then what's going to happen is the shutter is going to start to close before the flash has registered all of its light because it's going too fast. It's exceeding the maximum possible sync speed. And this is a common problem. So that is the sync speed with your camera. Now in indoor photography, that's not really that big a deal because there's not so much light anyway, so you can use a larger aperture or you can use a selection of apertures and allow your flash to flash at any one of those apertures. If the aperture or the hole or the diaphragm is large, you have a large hole, you need less power from the flash. If it's small, you need more power from the flash. And if it's somewhere in the middle, you need a medium power. Now, the real problem with the sync speed comes in the daylight. Because as we well know, or we might know, or we should know, the exposure on a sunny day is always going to be pretty close to f/16 at 1/125th of a second with 100 speed film, or your ISO set at 100th. That's just the sunny 16 rule. It works, trust me. So if you're ever in doubt about your exposure on a bright sunny day, it's f/16 at 125 at 100 speed film. You can make it 1/250th of a second and then go to f/11. You can make it 1/500th of a second and go to f/8, but that's the basic rule. So the problem is, let's say it's that bright sunny day. Your exposure is going to be f/16 at 125. Now, you don't want that because you're a portrait photographer and you know that when you take shots at f/16, you get a pretty sharp background. And for portrait photography, what we often want to do is we want to have the background blurry. In order to get the background blurry, we need to shoot with a larger opening or a smaller number. We need to shoot at around, I don't know, f/2.8, f/4, f/5.6, somewhere in that zone to have our background somewhat blurry. f/16 is going to give you a sharp background. But what happens is if the exposure is, like we said, on that bright sunny day, f/16 at 125, and we want to use the flash to fill in shadows, that's another part of the story. Let's say you're in the middle of the day, the sun is up top of you, and it's creating dark shadows under your model's eyes, as noon light often does. You want to fill those shadows with your flash. So the problem is, you want to fill the shadows with your flash, and you want to also have the background as blurry as possible. So what you want to do is you want to try and close down. So you want to bring that f16 to f5.6 or f4, and once you do that, your shutter speed is going to need to go up. Problem is you have that maximum shutter speed, that maximum x-sync speed, which will not allow you to go to the shutter speed you need in order to get the correct exposure with the flash. And this is just law. You can, using a neutral density filter, put that filter over your lens. That is one solution. Thereby, it takes away some of the light, it makes it a bit darker, and that allows you to use a lower aperture, but it's harder to see the scene if there is a darker filter on the front of your lens. So that's one drawback that you need to be aware of. And that really represents a problem, because as portrait photographers, we really do want our backgrounds to be blurry a lot of the time. So some solutions are, you know, again, shoot in a shady area, because there is a limit to what your camera can shoot. Now, if you have one of these newer cameras and or newer camera flashes, you may have the ability to do high speed sync. And that allows you to use shutter speeds that are higher than your camera's natural X-sync speed. So I have the Canon 30D, for instance, and my maximum X-sync speed is 1/250th of a second. If I don't have a flash that's capable of high-speed flash sync, there's really nothing I could do except put a neutral density filter on it or go into lower light. I cannot shoot at exposures that allow me to use faster shutter speeds than 1/250th of a second if I don't have this high-speed flash. So back again to our example, Sunny 16 rule, f16 at 125 is the same as f11 at 250 is the same as f8 at 1/500th of a second. I cannot shoot at f8 at 1/500th of a second, and I wouldn't really want to anyway. I'd probably want to shoot at f5.6 at 1/1000th of a second, or f4 at 1/2000th of a second. That would get me my blurry background. That would get me my fill. And the only way I could do that is, again, neutral density filter, using a special flash, or, you know, changing my lighting. Now, for one quick second, if we talk about this high-speed flash, and on the Canon system, it's called the FP flash, and the newer models of flash, like the 580 series, does indeed use this FP flash. Now, basically, this FP flash, it's kind of tricking the camera in a way. So normally, during the flash exposure, it just shoots one beam of light, bang, when the shutter is fully open, and you're good. Using the high speed setting on the flash, it basically tricks the camera in a way by firing pulses of light throughout the exposure, and that's kind of how it gets around it. You should know in advance it uses a lot of extra battery power. You should know in advance it's going to cause your recycle time to go up, and you should know in advance that it works. So, I mean, it's one of the advantages of spending like $500 on a flash, or close to $500 on a flash, is you often get this high-speed sync, which is very, very, very useful. And now that I've set that all up, right now I can go into Sergey's question and help him answer his question, which I should warn you is really technical, but is going to be very interesting to more advanced amateurs. So here's Sergey's email. So I'm adding this after everyone. I just basically wanted to clear up something in case people are confused. Basically, for Sergey's email, he's talking about using a transmitter and a receiver to fire the flash. So a transmitter goes on the camera, the receiver goes on the flash, and when you click the shutter, it wirelessly fires the flash. So that's what we're talking about here. And Sergey had a problem using that with high-speed flash. I'd also like to add that the high-speed flash, also called FP flash, the FP stands for focal plane, because the shutter is actually at the focal plane as opposed to inside the lens. And now back to our regular scheduled program. So here's Sergey's email. So I've learned recently that it's possible to sync with remote non-studio flash like Canon Speedlight 580 via radio just up to 1/500th of a second. And if you're going to use the optical way to sync with your flash, like an infrared transmitter, it won't limit you at all because of the speed of light. But I found myself doing portraits on a bright sunny day on a speed of about 1/4000th of a second to darken the background and to light up the model with a flash, but it doesn't work. I mean, when I put the time value shorter than 350 milliseconds, there is a half light and frame. By the way, I put my speed light mode to manual and ultra high speed option. It works fine when I put my speed light directly onto the hot shoe of my camera, but it doesn't when I'm trying to put a flash off the camera and sync it via an IR transmitter. So it would be great to listen to a podcast about high ultra speed sync with the off-camera flash via optical IR mode. And that was Sergey's original question. I wanted a little more information, so I asked him exactly which IR product he was trying to sync with, and I asked him what camera he's using. And Sergey responded back that he's using the D20, and he's using a Hensel IR flash trigger and Falcon Eyes flash trigger, and he also mounts the Falcon FlashEye syncs onto the PSL-15 onto his Canon Speedlight 580 EX2. And he tells me it works fine until he sets his shutter at longer than 1/350th of a second. When he tries to put it on even 1/500th of a second, a black curtain appears in the frame. In theory, it should work fine no matter what the shutter sync is because of the speed of light. And if I could figure out what's going wrong, he would be so appreciative. Well, I must confess that I did a fair amount of research on this, actually, because I did not know the answer offhand, why it wouldn't work. And basically, what I found out is that it's not going to work on anything except proprietary hardware by Canon. Even pocket wizards, which are also transmitters, and they transmit signals between your flash and your camera so that you can keep your flash off your camera. You have one transmitter hooked up to the flash, you have another transmitter hooked up to the camera, and when you press the shutter, it wirelessly fires the flash. So pocket wizards are one of the industry standards. They're amazing and they work super well, and they're about $300 each, or $250 to $300 each, and you need at least two of them, and even those do not work. And I'll tell you why they don't work based on my research. When you look at the bottom of that 580-2 flash, you will notice five pins. And those five pins must connect precisely with the camera. And often when we use something like a Pocket Wizard, or we use the Hensel or the Falcon Eyes, trigger, we are basically not getting all the full contact between the flash and the camera. So even though it may fire the flash, it's not giving you the extra magic of the FP sync or the high speed sync, because all the pins are not transferring all the information when you use that third party hardware. If you do use the STE2, this is a pseudo infrared transmitter by Canon. It costs around $200, $200. If you use that system, no problem, you are golden. And you can now use the high-speed sync. You can also use an off-camera shoe cord called the OCE3. That's about $65 or $70. It's wired and it's only about 2 feet, but you can use that to attach your flash to your camera. And there's a wire that goes in between, but that wire and the transmitter does allow all of the information, including the magic information and the magic things that the camera and flash can do together. It allows all of that magic to happen. And when you use anything third party, it fails. Now, I should tell you as well that you said that it actually worked up to 1/350th of a second. And that's probably not true. If you look really, really carefully at your image, you may notice that the top part of the image is going to be slightly darker. And that's because you've exceeded the X-Sync speed of your camera. You're just not noticing it enough. So for sure, a 500th is going to give you that black curtain appearing in the frame. But if you look carefully, I'd be willing to bet that you're also going to see some darkening on the shot that was taken at 1/350th of a second. So that was my answer, Sergey. I hope that answer makes sense to you. If it doesn't, please write back. If you have any other concerns, please write or email back. If any other listener has comments about what I'm talking about, or they found a different solution or better solution, please, or they think I need to know some information, of course, we're all here to learn, and I encourage you to give some feedback via email, through the forums, or just, you know, through the blog. Our email address is photography.ca@gmail.com. Our blog is photography.ca/blog. And the forums, you can just, you know, go to photography.ca, make your way to the forums, and you can post in any of our forums, including the podcasting forum. Speaking of our forum, I'd like to welcome quite a few members. I've been talking a little bit more about the forum on the podcasts lately, and some more new members are joining up, and I love it. And they're showing their stuff, and they're asking for critiques, and they're helping critique other people. I just love it. And that's really how we learn. So I absolutely encourage new members to join. It's absolutely free. I'm on the boards almost every single day. And a lot of other people are also. It is a small forum, but it's growing. And I dare say we have really good information on the site. And I dare say you're going to learn a lot if you do post for critiques. And if you already know a lot and you're willing to share it, so appreciate it. So, you know, I'd like to welcome Ben997, Vagabond, Tired Iron, Badness, Shelsters, Nikki2291, Morid007, and Beetle8. These are some new members since our last podcast, and I'd so like to welcome them and thank them for being a part of our community. A lot of the new members did hear about the forum through the podcast, and I gotta say, that makes me so happy. You know, I really want our podcast to grow, and I want the forum to grow too, and I just want to make it a bigger community because we all learn more when the community is bigger and better and we have more points of view. If by chance you like the podcast, then I've been getting quite a few emails telling me how people do appreciate the podcast, and that makes me heart really warm up, I must say. I love to do it. So if you do have some feedback and you want to provide it, might I ask you guys and girls to perhaps review the podcast in iTunes? So if you think the podcast was good, maybe you could just, you know, submit a review in iTunes, because, you know, iTunes is indeed the primary way people are finding this podcast. So if you haven't already subscribed, you can subscribe to this podcast in iTunes. You can just download iTunes for nothing. Just put in my name, Marco Kulik, or Photography Podcast, and you'll find our photography.ca podcast. And if you'd be so kind as to review it, that would be great. It's so appreciated, and it'll help grow our community. I'm such a shy Canadian. But, you know, anyway, all feedback is appreciated. So I hope you guys appreciated this podcast. I hope you learned something from it. As always, if you have anything to add, please do so in any of the ways mentioned before. Our next podcast is long overdue as well, and it's going to talk about lighting babies and how to light babies properly and a little bit about shooting babies. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Get out there, take some photos, take some weird angles, take some funky stuff, use some lighting that you're not used to using, shoot against the light, shoot with the light, have fun, practice, and as always, keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone.